Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text is the gospel lesson, especially the exchange. A man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." This is the text. There are kingdom matters in this text, and where the kingdom matters come out is in the word of truth. The word of truth, who stands there in the synagogue at Capernaum speaking the word of truth, speaking the word that brings life and salvation to set souls free, bringing them out of one kingdom and into the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of eternal life. In fact, bringing us out of all other kingdoms and into his eternal kingdom. The kingdom comes through his words, followed by the kingdom coming through Jesus dying and rising and conquering the one final enemy that stands in the way of all the promises of God, conquering death itself. The setting starts with Jesus' teaching. It's in Capernaum, and it's in the synagogue, and it says, "And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes." And well, he would teach as one having authority, since he was the one who gave the word of God in the Old Testament, the word of life. So if Jesus taught about the Garden of Eden and God calling out to Adam and Eve, well, he was the one who came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And there's some authority of having been the one who did that. And if he taught them about God talking with Moses on Mount Sinai, well, he was the one who called them out of Egypt to come to his mountain. And if Jesus taught them about how God had promised in Jeremiah to write his law on their hearts, and promised in Ezekiel how God had promised to give them a new heart, well, you see right there in his teaching about that, he was doing exactly what he had promised all along that he would do as God. And this is very different from how the scribes taught. In fact, there's a good illustration that comes to mind. It's as different as, well, teaching a class on one of the plays of Shakespeare. And by contrast, if Shakespeare somehow came back from the dead and walked into the classroom and you could ask him what he meant by certain things in his plays. Big difference. So Jesus taught as one having authority. But then there were the lies. And it is fascinating to look at lies, knowing that they are lies. There is a man with an unclean spirit, and we ask, how does that unclean spirit try to lead everyone astray so that we can answer with the truth? It's a good exercise. Because you see, we live in a world where there are plenty of deceptions and lies, don't we? The less important deceptions might have to do with receiving an email from a prince overseas who asks for your bank account information. It's a deception. Or what's going around lately is those who on the internet are offering to sell you black market vaccines. Those are the less important ones. More important is when the whole world acts as if, well, church is not that important, it's kind of optional. Well, you know right then, the truth is that the church is, in fact, terribly important. So, three lies. Number one, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Ha! That's my reaction. What has he to do with us? Well, Jesus was born for us. He didn't have to, but decided that he was going to become one flesh and one human nature with us. He shared hunger, thirst, fatigue, sadness. He needed to pray and had to trust in the promises of God, even when the heavens seemed closed and everything went wrong. And there at the cross, Jesus shared our sins. What has he to do with us? He has to do with every bit of us. Sharing our sins, taking it off of us, taking them off of us and placing them on himself and carrying the judgment we earned and the wrath that poured down on those sins. What has Jesus to do with us? Why, everything. And then the second part is he shares with us what is his. His resurrection, his eternal life, his heaven, his every blessing. Ah, there's the answer. Jesus came to have everything to do with us. The second lie, have you come to destroy us? Oh, by the way, this is the biggest of lies. And by that lie, the devil would have us run away from God and run away from the Savior instead of running to the Savior, the Christ. Jesus has not come to destroy, but to give life and salvation. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him, which is John 3:17. And we could leave it at there, but let's go further. Jesus did not come to destroy, but instead to take the destruction that we have earned and we have deserved, and to take that destruction into his own flesh. Yes, we have deserved, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And the third lie, the subtle one. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. The lie is in the insinuation that the holiness of God is a holiness that means our death and destruction. Well, which is actually true for the devil and the unclean spirits. But do you remember what Luther said about the holiness of God? The holiness of God is what God does to make us holy. It is the work of salvation. It is the work of the cross and the work of the empty tomb. Jesus being the Holy One of God means that he comes into this world to bring a holiness that clothes us. It's a transforming holiness that wraps us in the holiness of Jesus and then in the glory of Jesus and then in the eternity and the blessedness of Jesus, so that on Judgment Day, God himself will be celebrating as he shares the eternal kingdom with us. And that is what Jesus of Nazareth has to do with us and why he is born and why he became one of us. He has everything to do with us. And he makes it so that we have everything to do with him. As the angel said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And even the part about lying in a manger tells us that he has everything to do with us and that he will not turn aside from us no matter what, no matter what is in our lives. So Jesus was there in Capernaum that day preaching the grace and mercy of God, preaching repentance with the definition that repentance means. Knowing that God calls us out of sin to know his love and his mercy, and that mercy is in the cross where Jesus hung there in our place before the judgment seat of God and won forgiveness, and that mercy was opened up and revealed to the whole world when Jesus rose from the dead, and then hearing of his mercy in Jesus Christ means that he brings us into life. That is the message that is preached and spread through the whole world, because God is calling all who hear. Calling all who hear to live, and to live with joy with him, to live with joy with him forever. That is the message that has to keep going and spreading. In the synagogue that day in Capernaum, and then spreading through the Roman Empire, and then through the whole world, and even to here, even to Morris in our day. And it cannot be stopped, because that is what Jesus has decided, to spread his kingdom by spreading his word of salvation. And so, Jesus responds, "Be silent and come out of him." No more lies, no more deception, simply the gospel, simply the message of salvation, simply the truth of Jesus bearing our sins on the cross and Jesus rising from the dead. And the results? The unclean spirit came out. The lies about God were silenced and dispelled. And the people of Capernaum learned that God is among them and cares for them. What do they say? What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands the unclean spirits and sends them packing. Which being interpreted means we can be loved by God. Who would have thought it? And all of those unclean things in our lives? This is a Savior who can deal with them and not destroy us. And he brings a word from God that I can believe in. And believing in, I can live. And this is a completely different religion. This is a religion I can have. And that is to say it as I've said it so many times before. That is why I believe in Jesus. Amen.